7, 8. Caffeinated faith with Ray and E. Jesus talk.
Hello, hello.
Hi there.
Happy 21.
Oh yes, happy 21. Went by fast. Go ahead. What are we doing today?
We're talking about something serious, and I kind of had a difficulty with this one. Because, you know, the way we grew up and everything.
There's definitely different views on stuff, too.
Yeah, for sure. So we're talking about secular celebrations. And since Halloween's right around the corner, we're going to discuss a bunch of stuff within that.
I really hate this holiday. I still get scared from it. I'm not going to lie.
Don't you get me. Scared based upon, like, the evil looking creatures out there? Or, like, the actual...
Well, like, the overall visual of stuff. But then also, like, the feeling of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just different. You could definitely tell it's like a dark day.
Yeah. Just like the idea of...
From sunrise to sunset. It's not even just at night when people... Because you don't know what people do prior or whatever the case is. But
yeah. I don't know. Again, but you know, you're protected. You're protected, though.
I do.
Yes, you were raised differently, but I agree. You know, I agree with not having to do with any evil during the day. You know, during this holiday and... I agree that, you know, kids shouldn't be dressed up as the devil and zombies and all of that. Like,
you know why I also hate it now that I'm older is because now that I have a house right here, there's a couple things that's been happening this month that is, like, nearby to where we live. Yeah. So, like, for the whole month of October on the weekends, it's, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all night you'll hear chainsaws and screaming because there's a haunted, like...
The entryway?
It's like I forgot what it is. It's like, there's like a path. You like walk through it.
A labyrinth?
Yes.
Guess sure. That's what it's called.
They started it last year, but they just did it again this year. And I guess on Facebook, they're like, oh, it's better than last year and everything. There's like smoke, there's lights, there's a screaming, there's people jumping out at you, and there's like a whole thing.
So which I have really to hear means that. Worse.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm like hearing The Purge, you know, the movie?
Oh my god.
It's like the siren literally sounds like that. It's like this whole thing.
I can't.
But it's like every single weekend in October. And then just this weekend we had in Riverside the Witches parade or something like that.
Yeah, what is up with that? Like, I keep seeing it all over
internet. They came from Wickford because Wickford used to hold it all the time, but now they made it in our hometown.
A witch festival?
Yeah, and what's weird, you know what creeped me out is that over the weekend when they had it on Saturday, someone was like, you can't even leave like Riverside. I guess it was like all blocked. And then they were saying they tried going inside Duncan and they were like witches chanting and this and that. And that just gave me like, I got anxious just
that
hearing
is
it.
Surreal.
So stuff like that, like, it's in broad daylight. So it's not only just at night that you have to hear all that.
What does this world come to? I can't even fathom that people like would want to go to that or think that it's okay. It just shocks me. It amazes me how...
What if they're actual witches and then you don't know what they're chanting?
Well, based upon what I read, some of them are practicing witches and some of them are not. So they are. They are associated with demons. They are straight on a path with Satan. And even if they say that they're a good witch, that's far from the truth.
Yeah.
As we know, as we see in the Bible, as we feel in our souls, you know.
They definitely make it like a... commercial nowadays, like it's this huge big thing. Mm-hmm. Between seeing like the costumes and all the candy and like not even just that, because that's like the minuscule stuff, but like the events, like what I just said, happens. Right. And like you never know what the intent behind certain people and things are.
Yes, I'm sorry, that's in your town, girl.
Right there. Like right literally there. Right behind my house.
That's horrible.
That's what I go to sleep to in October. Oops. So
yeah. Oh man, it's late at night too.
It is, and there's, like, these spiritual elements that's part of it that, like, we might oversee sometimes, but between, like, horror themes, the witchcraft, like we said, and even just, like, the death-like imageries that we have to look at every single time we walk out of your house, so.
Gosh, it's like everything is demon-looking faces, just evil all over.
Yeah, and obviously Christians would find most of this troubling because it goes against, like, what we... Right. Believe in what we read.
And it's clear as day in the Bible what it says about all of this stuff.
And it actually saddens me because you could say you're Christian and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But obviously there's Christians out there who do the extreme like what Halloween gives because they think it's what you're supposed to do, or like everybody in the world does it.
Right, right, right.
And they try to justify it as well. But honestly, it's throughout the whole Bible from beginning to end. He talks about like how it's dark and like all the evil things. So it's not just a hidden, it's not like a hidden secret. So like you don't have to crack the code. He like puts it out there in plain sight.
Right, 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 right.
So it saddens me when Christians think it's okay or try to justify it because they want their cake and eat it too. But
yeah, I think, I mean, there, I don't think there's any justifying, like, evil appearances and the fact of going to parties with all these evil things around, right? My personal opinion is I don't see, like, dressing up my kid as a cat for one night is a sin, right? And I don't see passing out candy a sin, right?
Right.
And you could say I'm justifying it, right? But I choose to, I mean, what to participate in. I choose what to.
What your intent is behind it.
Yeah.
Isn't evil like how everybody else intends it to be.
Right. And I think some Christians justify more than that, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not even going out this year and going trick-or-treating. It's the first year. But I'll go to, like, a little trunk-or-treat event for, like, their school or something.
Even church.
Or a church that has had that once. Although that can still have, like, images that aren't good, you know, stuff like that. So it is a risk. And I don't know. I'm still kind of going through the phases of everything. So who knows how I'll be.
Right. But it goes to my point that I think I was talking about earlier where you... not to like judge other people on what they're, if you know that they're walking in the faith and stuff like that, if you see like a little thing or like carved pumpkins or whatever the case is, like don't judge them based off that, because one, the intent behind it, and
right.
two, it's between them and God, so like you have to let them make their personal convictions themselves with God, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of people do that sometimes, especially like the holier than thous. They
right.
always like be like, oh, you have like I don't know, I have something, for example, I'm not coming at you in any way, but the ghost pillow on my couch, right?
Yeah.
I just thought it was cute, just like how you think it's cute to dress up your daughter as a cat.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk to you about it.
Yeah,
which is fine. Not that I was judging you. Right. I wanted to talk to you about it just to get on the same page because I was confused almost.
Yeah, which is fine because then we talked about it. But like if you took it a step further, because like some people do,
right.
it's like, oh, but this and that, like arguing about the to the person about it.
No, like different. Get that out of your right. house right now.
Right. Imagine if you like just chucked it out the window.
Imagine, Rachel, this is unacceptable.
Right. But
it's like, it's not like an evil-eyed, ugly-looking thing.
There's
it's
no
like
blood dripping from
a cute little picture. But you know, people will judge. And just like you said, you need to discern in your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do around any secular celebration, including right. Halloween.
I have a couple verses that I want to read. First of them is Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14. I feel like I always look at your face because I feel like...
I know, sometimes we come out with the same passage. It's funny. Not that one.
Not that one. Okay, so Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14 says, when you enter the land... when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune-telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. But you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you are about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. So I looked up detestable just to see what it was, but it means doing things forbidden in God's law that is corrupt.
Yep.
And it just shows how God's strong disapproval of like any form of witchcraft, magic, or occult practices. It's like seeing them as like a rejection of his authority and power.
Yeah,
because you go into that instead.
Yes, But then we have people who will justify it and say, I'm an angel card reader and I'm for God.
You know, I actually had that on because of our past.
Yes.
In the salon.
We've seen it. Yeah.
She brought it in every month, I think it felt like.
Yeah.
And I would always get, I think all the girls actually did it except for me and
one I did person. It once.
Yeah, I know you did. I did. I was like, that's all you, but like, I'm good over here. But like, mm-hmm. I remember them like, asking me, like, being like, oh, but it's angel card reader. I was like, but that doesn't matter because that's not the actual angel.
You yeah, and
I
mean? She would also say, like, I don't work with bad things, I work through God. But no, when it says clear as day in the Bible that any sorcery, any magic, any, unless he's giving you a gift of prophecy, right? Something where, like, you're fully Christian and he gives you little prophetic, you know, mm-hmm. messages. Which is so completely different than trying to connect with
yeah.
the dead or the spiritual realm. And he clearly forbids that, you know?
I remember telling them, because some of them would make fun of me, others would understand, like you understood. But like, they would always be like, oh, but why not? And I was like, because only God knows my future and I don't want to know what's going to happen. Like, I'd rather just let God handle it or, like, mm-hmm. whatever it comes. I know you did it, so I don't know what it, like, entailed, like, what she did for you, but... I also remember hearing the girl say, oh, but this happened, and she said it would, and I'm like, but it could be...
Okay, that's another thing. So, now where is she getting her information from?
Right.
Right? There could be so many
not Jesus, I could
people
tell
in
that.
The spiritual... Demons, I guess, in the spiritual yeah. realm that can find out stuff about you. They know stuff about you.
I think it's also what you put out. That's what the devil also looks at. Because I think I've mentioned before, like, he can't know what's in your head, only obviously God does, but he mm-hmm. comes at you with things that you put out there. So, like, your actions, whatever words you say, he only uses that to go against you. So right. I think, like, obviously, like, I don't know if maybe the girls or whatever in their life mm-hmm. would, like, portray something, and that's what the devil can take, but it's obviously the spirit of evil that's in the room with her, not anything else.
No, for sure.
So that's
sure.
the only information that she could ever get.
But a lot of people just don't want to believe it. They believe the person, you know, telling their future,
yeah,
which most of the time is not accurate. They just think they just relate it to something, you know. Right. And if it is, it's just reaching for the wrong things completely. I just want to say, like, just before we continue, that we are not coming at anyone. We're not mm-hmm. trying to be holier than thou, this and that, right? And I actually have a quick verse that goes along with that, because when I read this, it just made me
same.
Think, really?
Yeah.
Don't tell me it's Corinthians.
No, it's not. You got that
okay.
one.
So I'll read it first, and then I'll explain. So it's 1 Corinthians 9:22. It says, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. So this just reminds me that if we do see people that, I guess, are weak in Christ or don't know him enough, we want to share that with them. We want to find common ground because we are human. We are all human.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in this together. So it's really nice how they worded this, because that, you know, it's not out of hate, or it's actually the opposite. It's out of love. I want to save some. I want to do everything I can to save some. So when I'm talking to anyone about, hey, that's a little evil for a 4-year-old, or, you know,
yeah.
or like, or it's good talking to inform about them. How I don't participate, like, I'm not coming at you.
Well, no, you're not
I'm
coming
to help.
You're not coming at them, especially if you back it up with, like, the Bible, if it comes to that.
Right.
Know? So, like, you can't argue with the Bible. It is what it is. It's written down.
Right. And it's also the feeling. Like, he changed our hearts to not even like that right. kind of stuff. So, it's not even... The word is the most important, right? In God, right? But he also does just do that for us.
Right.
Where we don't want anything to do with it.
That's true, but... I also have a verse in Galatians that I read that I came across, and the ending of it, like, I don't know, for me, it gave me chills because I obviously don't want this to be my end. But mm-hmm. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So if you do any of that, you're not going to inherit it. But it includes about witchcraft and sorcery and all that.
Right.
Which is something that's opposed to the Holy Spirit, and it's incompatible with like how we live as Christians.
Right.
And it clearly speaks against all that stuff in the darkness, associating them with evil and the spiritual danger that comes with it.
Right.
So that's all I want to say.
No.
Along with that, I feel like it's annoying to hear us day in and day out every single time. So we have a friend that has a background in this.
Mm-hmm. We have a friend that used to be associated with witchcraft, per se, and immoral sexuality. And she struggled a lot with this, of what I know, even though she knew that it was wrong, she mm-hmm. still, she got, you know, sucked up in that for a long time. And praise the Lord, she's away from that. She completely turned away from that. And that is such a good story to share.
It is. Me knowing her personally, too, from prior in the past versus mm-hmm. now, is crazy, like, the difference that I saw it with my own eyes, so mm-hmm. I feel like she's definitely a great addition to today's episode, especially because in the last several ones we've talked about this stuff and like
right
how, and I feel like sometimes maybe people think that we just talk about like God just to talk and that it's not truth, but mm-hmm. she actually could help us out in that way as well, just from everywhere that like the whole aspect of her life that she's like turned around into, you know, like from where she was before to where she went to how she like found God now. So
right. There's nothing like a good 360 story like that, you know.
And it'll come from her own There's mouth, not ours this time. Yeah, so, you know, right. It's true.
There's levels. Like, you know, I turned from different sin. I turned from partying. I turned from, like, you know,
well, from
judging and cheating.
Yeah.
I did that one time, you yeah. know, like.
You, it's different. It's crazy how different layers of sin mm-hmm. there are too, but also like, this is her words, not mine. She
right.
called herself rotten back then.
Yeah.
So, and wicked and all that stuff. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
And God says, God created us men and women, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe in the Bible, it says that it's an abomination of his creation.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, specific sins like sexual immorality and witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very serious thing, and I'm just so happy that she's here with us. So come on down, Marley. Thank you so much, Marley, for being with us today.
Of course.
Yes. You became best friends with Rachel years ago, and now I get to call you a friend too. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to hear more about your story because I'm very interested in what you've already told me.
Yeah.
And I'm excited that you're here.
Yeah, from what I already know too, I'm curious to know like your thoughts on what she would say, because she might go into like mm-hmm. more detail that mm-hmm. like, she never told you before.
Yeah.
And then just my two cents per usual. So
yeah.
So take it away.
Your All time. Right. Well, a little backstory, taking it real back, and I'll make it short and sweet. I was actually raised in, I guess you could say, Catholicism. Like, I went to Catholic school for most of elementary. My parents did kind of like the traditional thing. They didn't go to church, but I did get my, you know, I was baptized. I got my first communion, and then slowly kind of started not showing interest. So they didn't force me to do my
confirmation.
So then from there, I'd kind of go to a different church, Assembly of God, with my sister's grandmother.
Was that Catholic as well?
No, that one's Christian.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I got my first, like, I actually really started to learn things, which is strange because I went to Catholic school and you'd think we'd learn, you know,
right.
Much more considering we had mass. I think it was like the last Wednesday or the first Wednesday of every month, and then we also had a religion class.
Yeah.
So I did like learn quite a bit. My foundation had a little bit of Jesus in it. And then when I started going to church with my sister's grandmother, I became a little bit more interested because they had youth. So mm-hmm. I did get a little involved with that, but it wasn't consistent. And I can always remember my grandma or my sister's grandmother telling me, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot with God. He's coming back. He won't accept that. So that's like something that's always been in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Fast forward to becoming an adult. Pause real quick. Also, in my upbringing, my dad struggled with alcohol addiction, and I had it rough at home.
A lot yeah. to see, yeah.
Yeah, so as I became a teenager, I ended up seeking out worldly things such as, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
music, you know,
yeah.
To kind of just escape from my reality. And I never took God or religion seriously. And then, you know, in retrospect, a lot of my decisions were what made my life as an adult hard.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know Jesus. Not to say yeah. that you're not still going to have difficulties with, you know, being a Christian or being serious with God.
Right.
You'll still have trials and tribulations. But the things that I experienced, essentially, I put myself in those situations because I was rebellious right. or whatever, and it was just like one big bad decision after another.
Yeah.
But ultimately led me to a lot of, you know, hurt and anger, and then getting even deeper into like, I'm so angry at God, but in a sense I should have been angry at like just the religion aspect of it, you
yeah.
know, because I wasn't in the right place clearly. You know, I wasn't yeah. in an area where I come to saving grace and literally the first day I walk in, everybody just looks me in my face and hugs me and is like, I'm so happy you're here.
Right.
I had
right.
never experienced that. If I experienced mm-hmm. that when I was a teenager, it probably would have been a lot different. However, so, you know, one bad decision led to another. My adult life was pretty difficult. I struggled with alcohol, weed, all of it. I'm still working on some of my things.
Mm-hmm.
But to say where I came from and where I am now is like a complete, it's a 180. Like if you knew me a year and a half ago, you no longer know me if you're not in my life.
Right, right. I've
and
seen that.
Jeez, that just gave me chills.
It's true.
It is true.
It's true. Like people who knew me, literally people, even going back to Delore, like almost a year and a half ago, 2 years, like none of those girls know me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally not the same person. And to rewind again.
Mm-hmm.
So after all of, you know, the craziness of my life, I kind of finally settled down a little bit. I did end up not, I guess, in my words back then, I'm never dealing with another man after my daughter's father.
Mm-hmm.
And I held to it. I held
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
I did not trust anybody, and very less a man, you know, like I had two male role models or figures, I guess, in my life
mm-hmm.
as an adolescent and then like teenager. One was my father, and, you know, he gave me everything that I needed and he did his best, but with his own issues of, you know, his childhood.
Yeah.
He could only do so much for me. So
right.
that was someone that I couldn't fully trust, like emotionally.
Mm-hmm. And rely on.
And
yeah.
sometimes physically, you know, like. And then my daughter's dad, he was much older than me. And that was another man that I just saw, like, didn't stand up to what was promised, I guess. So from those two, I was like, yeah, this is not happening again. And now I have a daughter, like I need to protect her from men at all costs, which it wasn't, you know, that's not the correct way, because they were just two people that didn't have their own stuff figured out. You know what I mean? And I was kind of just like the punching bag for all their BS.
Yeah. When that's all, you know,
yeah,
as a, you know, any for any men, you know, in your life. And that's how it is. That's not okay for a little girl.
Right.
We need fatherly figures
right.
and, like, you know, we need to be nurtured.
Right.
By a man, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was just me and my dad for a long time. So that was, it was very difficult.
Yeah.
So, you know, throughout the years, one thing led to another. And then I did end up marrying a female. And I was with her for like 6 or 7 years. And I'd still go through phases where I would really struggle with alcohol. Mm-hmm. Like when my daughter was at her dad's house on the weekends, I was 18 years old again. Mm. Like,
wow.
Full send. Yeah. I knew that she was safe. I knew that I could trust him as her father.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever he did to me, that was completely separate because he was a really great father to her.
Okay.
So, you know, with that being said, I knew that she was well taken care of. Mm-hmm. And I was 18 on the weekends, 21, whatever. I went ham. Mm-hmm.
That's the Marley that I know.
Yes.
New.
So, yeah. So, and then, you know, with the alcohol and then already having all of this, like, emotional stuff pent up, like, you know, your childhood and all the things that happened to you and, whatever. So like with those, you know, the alcohol and all those events or just my life as a whole, you end up getting into this like, woe is me. And you're always the victim.
Right.
And I had never realized that, mm-hmm. you know, so like there, you have to take accountability because if you're making all of these decisions, you know, like God's not going to sit next to you and hold your hand to allow you to go be a stripper or go allow, you know, sell drugs or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, not to say that I did either of those. Those are two sins I have not done. But yeah, so I ended up getting so deep and dark into a hole, and then COVID hit. Mm. So now I'm sitting, yeah, exactly. So now I'm kind of just like sitting in my house and I'm like, you know, I'm sulking in the misery and I'm like, I need to search for something.
Yeah.
And I was still in a space where I was like, you know, I always, when I was in that space of like sex, drugs and rock and roll, I used to say, I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
But because I had that little bit of foundation of it, mm-hmm. I knew in the back of my head, in the deepest, deepest part of me, girl, you're wrong and you're going to regret those words.
Yeah.
So like, you know, whatever. So during COVID, I started to search for something because I had this like void that was like, I cannot take this anymore. There's got to be something more. And I ended up getting into the spirituality stuff, quote unquote.
That was after. That was after you married the woman and started, you know, drugs and alcohol. And
stuff. Well, that was kind of like on and off the whole my whole life. That's
how Satan can get in. Yeah. That was the basis of all of that. You know, there was an open door for you to get into that witchcraft now and all that other stuff.
Yeah. It gave me something to believe in.
Yeah.
So although I hope no one takes this wrong, but although it is absolutely like not okay, there's no way to sugarcoat it. No type of witchcraft is good. Mm-hmm. I used to say the same thing. I've never wished harm on anybody. Mm-hmm. I've never done like any sort of like spells or anything like that. Like I've never had a bone in my body that wanted someone to be hurt, mm-hmm. you know, or something bad to happen to them because I also believed in karma. So I always thought that whatever you put out there, you're going to get back times whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to just say 7 because that was my favorite number. But yeah, so with that being said, searching for something spiritually, and even though the first step for me in that sense was the tarot cards, angel cards, astrology, all of that stuff, ultimately because of Rachel and her and I always like bickering back and forth about it.
It was the best times of my life.
It was fun. It was fun, but it was also very like it was like educational, I guess, you know.
So you
like,
had met Rachel at a new job, mm-hmm. or she came to you to your job, and that's when you guys started talking about her well, not religion, but her faith, and you guys bickered
back
and forth. Yeah, if you want to do that all in a nutshell,
I just want to make sure they understand like you guys met after that and at
so
work.
I came in for just a regular massage with our friend. What's it called? It was 2021 because I had just gotten married and everything. We actually got married in the same year. So when I started, she actually was missing work because she went to go get married. But anyway, so we got together then. So I knew her right at the beginning of her getting married and partying because I remember her always being out and about and all this and that. So that's how that started. I just mind my own business. I let her do her, because that's not my life, that's hers. And so I just did what I did, and I guess it bothered her, because it got her to ask me questions. Actually, I purposely poked at her, too, because... Mm-hmm.
Well, we're called to poke,
Alexa,
right?
Alexa, no. Turn this off and play Miguel. That's what I used to do in the lash appointments.
In my lash room, I would always have, obviously, the Jesus music on that I always say. But I told her, if you're going to continue, because her lashes, like, never lasted that well. So I was like, what the heck? So I said, if your lashes don't last well, I'm going to keep my Christian music on. And then she that's when she said that. Like, she would yell at my Alexa to change it to, like, Miguel or something like that. And I'd be like, seriously? And then that's when I think it actually started.
I was rotten.
She was rotten.
I was such a brat.
Yeah, she was. She was like I tell her this now just because I know you, but like, she was the most challenging that I've ever had to deal with.
My goodness.
Jesus put me here for a reason.
He was definitely tested my knowledge.
Yeah. Tested both of you.
Yeah.
Because there would be appointments
that's what he does.
There would be appointments where like the whole hour it would be talking about God. And sometimes I didn't even know I knew some of the stuff I was saying, and it just kept coming out, and I was just like, all right. So then after she would leave the appointment, I'm just like, what the heck was that?
What just happened?
Or like even when she was like, whenever she would go through stuff, even if I wasn't with her physically, I don't know, she would always contact me. So I thought that was kind of cool in that aspect at the time, because I was like, oh, wow, okay, so she is looking up to me in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like help her out.
But, yeah.
She had me view my walk with God differently. I would say
you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome to you. Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's don't mess with witchcraft. There's no way around it. It's all right. Perfect example. You had mentioned earlier about the angel cards and where they're getting their information.
Right.
Yeah, God can definitely give you, you know, the gift of
prophecy.
However, people who are mediums, reading cards, I'll say mediums specifically because they specifically say that they speak to the dead. They're not talking to your grandma. They're not talking to your mom. They're not talking to your cousin. They're not talking to your best friend.
No.
That's upstairs.
They are talking to a familiar demon who knows your life. A familiar demon who, because you're messing around with the devil, quite literally, these demons
stay
are always
you.
Around you.
Yeah.
They're always around you. You do spells, you do the cards, you do your little altar, which I used to do because my family's Mexican, so we did Dia de los Muertos, which I no longer do. This is my first year not doing it.
Yeah.
But, like, there's... The demons are around you, and they pay attention to your movements. They pay attention to the music that you're listening to.
They'll do anything.
The movies.
Oh yeah.
They literally pay attention to everything. And then when you go to then when you go to this medium, your demon is sitting right next to you.
Right.
Your demon is sitting right next to
you. Your demon is by your side.
And that demon is telling your medium your name, your boyfriend's, you know, his looks or.
Yeah.
You know, it's giving the medium actual information because they're sitting there with you.
Against God.
That's not your brother, your cousin, your mom, your sister, whoever, you know, your loved one that passed away. It's literally just someone, pretending to be because they are familiar with you.
Oh, yeah.
So that even if you don't feel like you're doing anything evil or your intentions aren't evil behind it because you don't know better.
Yeah.
It's still evil.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around that.
Yeah.
And then
demons can also
with Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, like Halloween, it's for the dead. It's for the devil. It's for the witches. It's, you know, like
they disguise themselves as well. You know, that just to what you're saying, they disguise themselves as something good. So to these mediums or these angel readers or whatever they are, the devil has a way of knowing how to make things seem so good and disguising themselves. And it's a shame that the people that are actually doing this work don't realize that.
It's scary. That they're a good witch.
There's no such thing.
They even put
witchcraft
it out. They even put it out there though, because like the mediums and all that stuff, they have TV shows, right? And so now you're opening that door into your home because now it's, you're watching on TV. I tried watching like one of them and I wasn't amazed at like the outcome of whatever there was.
Just
was
for just your like, knowledge,
it
right?
It's just like, how do they do that? Like, this and that. But, like, mm-hmm. I never had, like, desire and just put it on again.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just opening up that door mm-hmm. as well. And I was watching a video last night when I was looking over my notes. And it was crazy what this girl said. She said, like, even as simple as, like, a show, she was watching The Vampire Diaries. I don't know if you guys have seen that. Mm-mm. I never have. But she stated that she couldn't watch past season 3 because I guess there's a scene that casts spells and stuff.
Oh.
And she would feel, like, convicted by it. But I guess 2 years later, she saw, like, a video on, like, whoever wrote the show, whatever. They would literally tell the video, like, oh, we actually were casting actual spells. They just, like, changed maybe, like, a word
or
two.
I saw that.
You
did?
Lovely.
They did that with, supposedly, with, like, all the Disney shows as well,
like probably Wizards of
yeah.
Waverly Place,
like those were like they were actually
sure.
doing things in those kids shows,
and we don't know that because obviously we're not there seeing like them writing the script or whatever, but
yeah.
they literally put it in the script and it's actual spells, so like you're
yeah.
that's another way that the devil's trying to get into your home even
mm-hmm.
and whatever else close mm-hmm. to you through the TV.
And even if not, they didn't, if you didn't, even if they didn't do that, it's still the act of it that's
mm-hmm.
that's wrong
right.
too.
And even if you are a Christian, you can't say, oh, but I'm protected. But if you're opening up that door,
mm-hmm.
it's not gonna matter. And if we go ahead and do something because we're only protected when we follow God is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they stated in the video too that Proverbs 8:13 talks about the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. So then they kind of ended it with a question that says, do you have the fear of the Lord if you don't hate evil?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're okay with all the evil stuff, then do you actually fear the Lord or are you just, you know?
Very true.
And that's when they also state in the Bible, like, abstain from every form of evil
mm-hmm.
if you can.
Yes. I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
Just going back, because I want to hear more about, like, the transition of, like, really what made you turn to Jesus from, like, the bickering with Rachel after that.
That's a good question. I don't think I've ever
yeah.
asked her that.
I want to know, like,
oh, I
you know.
I can literally tell you the moment. I don't remember the date or the actual time, but
I don't know if it's the same that I'm thinking of, but I think it was that moment that day that I remember.
And
probably.
It could be over the course of time,
well,
you know.
No,
this
is
specific.
I had a very specific moment.
Okay.
Moment, I had already started going to church. It was maybe only like a couple months in.
Oh, never mind. We have two different moments.
All right. Are you thinking about the one in Jersey?
Not Jersey.
So we have a few moments.
I guess so.
Yes, but the most relevant.
No, you were already in church. I was talking about before church.
Oh, okay. No. This one, I was already...
You started going to Rachel's church for
in,
a while.
Yeah, May of 23.
Cinco de Mayo
so
weekend.
A little bit over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you were just learning at that point. You were trying to feel
learning.
It out.
I was trying to figure it out, like, see if, I don't know. I got to a point where I felt like even that spirituality nonsense that I was messing with, it filled the void for a little while. And when I say fill the void, I think it just filled my time because it was COVID and it was
mm-hmm.
boring and there was like nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I already had way too many plants, couldn't do more of that. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I already had a whole garden of food and then like houseplants, so I hit that max, you know. So I had to find something else to fill the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just got to a point where like that was not even enough anymore and I couldn't break the chain or whatever you want to call it from the alcoholism, like
mm-hmm.
as much as I want to deny or say, you know, I've always been in control. I can always feel when I'm about to, you know, and I'm teetering the line of a problem and then I stop for a little
yeah.
bit. Bro, that's alcoholism.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
that's just, that was just me trying to justify myself. So it got to that point where I had, like, this whole meltdown. We were on our way to a wedding in Connecticut.
That's the one I was thinking
yeah,
of.
No, that was the beginning of it. But after that, I still struggled for a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
And there's one specific moment after that that I know was when Jesus met me exactly where I was at.
I like that story,
and
too.
I love that line.
Yeah.
Because when I tell you it's so ridiculously serious... Like,
true.
I wish somebody could have just been, like, a fly on my wall or, like, let me
witness.
Live in a fishbowl so people could watch things as they, like, progress
mm-hmm.
in my life because it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like,
Were you praying and reading at that point? Okay, you were just like interested, and you were like, so, okay, let's see what happens.
Say when he met you, that story.
Okay, so when he met me, this is a couple months after going to church. I was going to church very, you know, every single Sunday. We were even going Wednesday nights, mm-hmm. meeting with her parents for an hour before service. And slowly things started to change a little bit
mm-hmm.
in areas that I allowed to change.
Yeah.
You know, but still wanted to go out drinking, mm-hmm. still wanted to go out playing pool,
mm-hmm.
all of that. When it really changed was one night I was out, well, we were out playing pool, having drinks, and we came home and I was 2 sheets to the wind times 3.
Okay.
All I can remember from this night is coming home, being completely shwasted, putting worship music on the big screen TV on YouTube.
Okay. Just because?
I don't know why.
Okay.
And then I was on my hands and knees, forehead to the ground, screaming, crying for God to just get this alcohol away from me. Like, I'm sick of it. I'm over it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel this way. Like, yeah, it's nice to have one or two drinks like a normal human. But right. no, I was literally throwing back like 8 shots.
Yeah.
Like I literally could throw down I'd be dudes. Dead.
Nope.
And that's, I used to think that, oh, I can throw back shot for shot with the boys. Like, no, that's not cute. That's gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
You saying that, two things. One shows, even when you are going to church and trying to take it seriously and trying to change your life around, you're not going to change overnight.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of what I told you in Connecticut. I think we were on the way home or whatever. But I gave you that scenario where about the shower.
Mm-hmm.
About like...
that also stuck with me.
You want to say it?
You don't need to get clean before you take a shower. That's what the shower is for, bruh.
So that's essentially what I said, and that just reminds me of the story you just said about being mm-hmm. on your hands and knees. So, like, you came to God, but you were at your worst part of your...
Yeah, he literally met me where I was at.
Right.
But that was, like, a pivotal moment for me. That was, all right, pivotal moment. The alcohol. If this isn't God, I don't know what it is, because I'll tell you right now, it wasn't me. Shortly after that, even when we would go out to, you know, dinner and have a couple of drinks, after drink two, I was like, I don't even want this anymore.
The taste.
That was like after you were on your hands and knees.
Shortly after, like maybe over the next few weeks.
Remember.
It got less and less. And then it got to the point where even if I had one drink, I'd be thrown up the next morning.
And remember, she asked God to take it away from her, right?
Yes.
And now even she told me multiple times, like, the taste of it doesn't even, like, she doesn't want it anymore.
Like, I don't crave it. I don't desire it. I don't crave the feeling of being drunk. I don't crave the feeling of being tipsy. I am now at a point where if I do have an adult beverage, I'm having maybe, like, a glass of wine. And then I'm like, I don't want this anymore. And I throw it away. Or I'll make myself a drink just because, like, I don't know, I feel, I'm like, ooh, I want a little beverage, right?
Yeah.
I make my drink, take 2 sips, before you know it, it's down the drain.
And the word she used.
No desire.
And the word she used is desire that I was going to go back on, because in the Bible it says, like, when you change your life over to God, he won't give you the desires of the world, right?
You're right.
So that right there is like a living,
mm-hmm.
walking.
And please know that I still have a lot of work to do. I am not... Like, exactly where I am not at all where I need to be.
Look at where you came, girl.
I know, but I don't want to sound like a holier than thou.
No, you're not.
Because I literally, you know, like, I still have a lot of work to do. You let go of the heavy stuff, though. But it's like, the biggest thing was alcohol, and that was...
Not even just that. The sorcery and all that, too. Like, all that heavy stuff is behind anyway. So, like, it might feel like you have a lot to go. We all have ways to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you've gotten rid of, like, 90% of that. Obviously, we still struggle every day.
But no matter where you're at, I think there's always more we can do. There's always room to grow.
Yeah.
Like, I need to work on, like, my anger with my children sometimes. Like,
my road rage is real.
The road rage.
Her driving will make you want to pray. Not because of maybe how she is.
It is so
but,
bad.
Like, not
like
how she
our
drives.
Anger.
It's our anger.
I can't.
Listen, we are human.
Stay home.
This is why she always lets me drive.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You got to pray. You got to pray for that.
Yeah.
Anger is a really hard, hard, you know, bridge to get over. It is very hard because we are built to be, you know, like to protect ourselves, right, and we're built to, you know, have emotions, of course. Right. But
praying is definitely a very great thing that you have to keep in your forefront, like always pray. Yeah. Because even if it's like stuff like that, or right, with like the evil stuff and this and that, like you're mm-hmm. always going to be protected, especially if you continuously pray and have that genuine like relationship with God. And so him just having that like protection bubble like around you, nothing evil can touch you. So I know I talked about how my friend was going to go to the Conjuring house and you were like, Rachel, but like you have God, so you're fine. And I know, and I always joke around saying that I didn't want her back.
Oh my gosh. I
didn't want to be around
her. She was like, I'm afraid to like be next to her after that. I'm like,
but, girl, baptize her first.
But I obviously know that I have God, so I say that as a joke. But honestly, mm-hmm. though, if you continuously pray and have that relationship with God, he'll cover you. And
right.
You'll see, and I love how they say how like the enemy will flee from you, and like you don't have to do anything. You're just standing there as like one of God's soldiers, like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, back up.
But he knows your truth. He knows, like, you know, if you're being honest, he knows. Mm-hmm. And that's when he knows that you are for him, he's going to be there, and he's going to get you through anything.
I try to give myself a little bit of grace sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the hardest on ourselves.
For sure.
But, like, you know, I know that I should be praying more. I do talk to him every day, but it needs to be more consistent.
Yeah. I feel like we hold each other accountable pretty well, too.
Yeah, it's super helpful.
Between, like, oh, have you prayed about it, or have you read about this, mm-hmm. or whatever. And then she'll come at me sometimes saying, like, you know, you should go to church tonight. Like, because there are some times I'm...
I love it.
She's exhausted. She's a busybody. She's got a lot going on. So we're human. Sometimes she's like, I'm just exhausted. I'm like, girl, get your butt there.
She goes, do you want the Christian answer, or do you just want... Like, and I'm like, I know I have always to, I know Christian. I should go to church, obviously, because, like, bring all your stuff to him there. But, like, sometimes, you know, you just want to stay home and comfort.
No, I totally get it. But also, it does not feel the same. So, like, you know, there are times where I'm exhausted or whatever, the, you know, my cramps or whatever, and I'm like, I really cannot move today.
Yes.
And I'll try to watch church on live on Sunday, and it's just not the same.
No. Because you're not feeling the Holy Spirit in the room like how you would at church.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, and then just like everybody all like-minded, all going to the altar, or all going there for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's where more than two gather, right? Mm-hmm. Or more than three gather.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he's, you know,
yeah,
just there.
There, like, you feel it.
I mean, he's always going to be there, but yes, it's like enhanced.
When you're not in person.
Yep. Just a quick side note. There is this girl I follow on Instagram, and I think it's like Holy and Hormonal. She's all for God.
Yeah.
But she, no, I told you before.
Yeah, you said on the
podcast. She struggles so much with her period, right? She gets angry. She gets in pain, blah, blah, blah. And she, her whole thing is about how she deals
with,
yes, that's why I'm telling you. She is great because I have a tough time with my period too, like emotionally. I feel like the world is ending. So she helps out a lot. So I'll give you her info.
Yeah, for sure.
She's very strong with God too.
Nice.
Yeah. So, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just want to say, like, it all comes down to decision making in this. Like, you had to decide to pray that night, even though you were wasted. Like,
I remember doing it, but yeah. I don't know where that came from.
Maybe God was calling you.
Maybe
I'm
it's
sure.
something you maybe you wanted to do since starting church, and like maybe you maybe stopped yourself because of whatever reason or whatever the case was. Because they say, like, when you drink or get drunk, whatever I should say, your true self comes out, because that's when the truth comes out and stuff like that. So maybe in that moment in time, that's what you needed, and you knew that's what you needed, and you couldn't stop yourself because you were not yourself.
He also calls you out of the trenches.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I found God in the worst day of my life. Like, he calls you out of the trenches, and you must have been feeling some type of way that night.
Just tired and
over it.
And just done.
See?
And like...
Yeah.
Literally, how much can one person be a punching bag? You know, like, not, I don't at all want the, I'm not doing like the woe is me, but when you make stupid decisions and then, like, you know, the trickle effect of everything, and then your next decision is pretty crappy also, like, you feel like a punching bag.
Right.
Even though, you know, at that time I wasn't accountable and I didn't understand or realize that I was doing it to myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've also had quite a bit of bad things, like, real bad things happen where I used to say, oh, this happened, you know, woe is me, why me, whatever. Yeah. And ultimately, yes, I put myself in those situations. Regardless, that doesn't make it doesn't make it okay for those situations to happen. However, when I think of friends who have also experienced these things, and I know their full story and exactly how things happened, even though I feel like, even though I said that there was no God, but because I still felt it in the back of my head, those bad things that happened could have been way worse. I could be dead.
Yeah.
They could have been way, way worse. Like, just for the fact of knowing a friend story in particular.
Yeah.
Same thing happened, and she was dropped, you know, left on the front sidewalk of a hospital.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, in retrospect, it could have been way worse. And even though I never called on him, he had to have been by my side.
God knows where you're gonna be at. God knows that you're his child. He knew all along that you were gonna turn to him, and he found a way to get you. It's your choice, though, right?
Right.
He found a way.
No, I was just gonna say hi. That's me. No, I say that because I feel like I also came in at the right time for her. Obviously, it was like during COVID, and that's after, like, she started doing all this stuff, so just helping her there, because, like, imagine, like, if I didn't end up taking that job opportunity or whatever, the road that she could have been going down would be destructible, right?
Side note, real quick, I have to interject, taking the job, so I tried to kick it to her, like, I wanted to date her, kick it to her, but I was like, oh my god, she's so pretty, and she came
that's
in,
really,
like,
why you
asked me. I was like, she's so pretty, she needs to work here. I was already
that
married.
Was my no, first thought of Rachel, you know, too.
Guys, you're fine. Like, I never thought of it like that. No, but you know what's funny is that it was during COVID, right? So I had a mask on. So she only saw probably half my face at first. So if I was pretty there.
I can't.
Yeah, so I was like, oh my god, she's so pretty. This girl needs to work here. And I had just gotten out of a meeting. And they were like, you need to hire a lash girl. And she had, like, the lash.
Oh, my lash
something.
Mask.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah,
yeah. So I was
yeah.
like, do you want a job? And she was like, no, I already work in East Providence, blah, blah, blah.
But you know what's crazy?
And then she comes and is working there, like, a week later.
Because, you know, no, because for some, like, I don't know why. I would, obviously, when I said no to her, I meant it at the time. But then when I got in the car, something just, like, came in my mind. And who knows, maybe God was planting it
that
in my brain.
Like, yeah, you
I'm
should
saying,
take this job.
Take this
yeah.
job. I don't know what it is about that location, because remember, I got you from Chi, and then I got her from Dolores, so I don't know what
Jesus
it is.
Got so many children.
Jesus just like keeps putting me back in that place. No longer, though, because I'm not going back. But no, I also think I came into her life at the right time, too, because aside from helping her on the road she was on, something that she said to me that I actually hold on to is when she was talking before about how, like, she could have been dead, right? She came to me before and said how, not that she was suicidal or anything, but, like, there were times where she
drank myself to death,
right, and she didn't want to be here anymore. I think she said the only thing stopping her was her daughter and what, your boyfriend at the
I mean, now, you know, Matthew, well, not that I feel that way now, but I'm saying, like,
at the time,
at that time, Matthew had just been new in my life. So,
she was
obviously,
trying to navigate that.
I was trying to navigate that, but ultimately, you know, our children become, or our children are before anything in this world.
Right.
So,
I didn't want to leave her without.
Yeah, like, I would never do that, but if it wasn't for both of them, because Matthew also stuck it out when I was rotten to him, too.
Yeah.
You know? So, really, if it wasn't for this little village around me, of all of you included, I probably wouldn't be here today.
And I'm glad she, like, looked up to me as well, because I also told her, like, hey, stick it out with this guy. I feel like he'll be good for you. And she actually listened to me, and that's
the thing. He's literally the best thing, other than my daughter, that has come into my life.
Yeah.
And the
obviously
fact
other
that,
than my friends.
Right.
I love you guys. I can't live without you.
But the fact that he also, like, try church out with her now, is with her in church, and so now they're growing together, and obviously that's important in a relationship to have God together, so you guys have the same views, and, like,
he's growing too.
I mean, we're, you know, everybody's on their own journey, but just the fact that he's putting in the effort And initially he did just go to support me. You know, like most people don't do that. Nah, I'm not going to go sit at church.
Or we could find another church to go to. Like...
Or we could just go to the church that's literally 2 seconds from our house.
Right.
You know?
Or what you're familiar with, because he also has Catholic background.
So. Right, and his home church is literally 2 seconds from our house. But instead, we choose to drive 45 minutes every weekend because we have a family.
Right.
You know?
So I'm just glad that I came into her life at that point, too, just because maybe she really couldn't be here. You know?
Right.
So... That's what I want to say.
I have a quick thing that I want to go back to. It just came into my head.
Yes.
The witches parade.
Yes.
So I posted that on Facebook.
Oh, commentary.
And it blew up.
There was good and bad, though.
Oh, I didn't see after.
But that blew up. So first off, it was my younger cousin who... I think she, like, laughed at it and then said that I was being, like, basically saying holier than now. Oh, you're one of those now. Right? Like,
I don't get
for me, I feel sorry because she's had a rough couple of years. She's younger than me and, you know, I hope she doesn't get mad at me for saying this, but she did beat cancer.
Wow.
She had, double breast cancer, went through all the roller coaster and the motions of it. So it saddens me that she was the first one to negatively comment because, like,
how do all you the blessings that she
here?
Received,
you know what I mean? Like, that wasn't a spell that kept you here.
No.
You know what I mean? That wasn't you by yourself or science that kept you here. That's God saying that you're not done here yet.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, for me, it's now that I know, it's really sad that she, you know... I guess doesn't believe, especially after going through something like that. So anyways, back to the post. That started a whole thing. I'm talking Miss Carol, like I'm pretty sure Betty. I had a couple of other friends that I just learned are Christian and are like really
they definitely backed you up with some
they
of those
backed
comments.
Me up and they're definitely good. Like you can see that they're really truly on a journey for themselves.
Nice.
But with that being said, so many people think that there's nothing wrong with the whole witchcraft thing. And
or having a witch's parade.
And all of that. Like, you're literally having a parade for evil.
I don't understand it. I'm speechless
at
that.
A witch is a witch.
Yeah.
Evil is evil. Witchcraft is witchcraft. Sorcery. Like, there's literally no way around it. So even if you were to say that you're a good witch, what's that last word? Witch.
You're
that's
still
evil.
Attached
you're
to it somehow.
You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
And to one have that... Oh, so this is what set everybody off. Because in the letter that was posted for this parade, it was from
a pastor,
I think. And he was saying, you know, Christians, beware. Said what he said.
Yeah.
And towards the end, he was like, you know, this could be... This is an open door for our children. You know, like, if you're gonna, same thing with pride. That's something that I'm coming back for June. We're gonna have another one
that's
for June.
That's a real tricky topic, but it has to come up one day. We have
it's
to just
okay.
go
I
for it.
I don't mind getting all the hate because I lived it for 15 years. So,
jeez,
bring me back.
Yeah, Rachel and I have, we've talked about it, but we're like, I don't know if we're, you know, there yet, but one day for sure.
But anyways, so this is an open door.
She's ready.
I am ready. Because I lived it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm totally down to talk about the things that I firsthand lived for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've, obviously, you know, those are the first things that I went to when I, when Miss Rachel bought me my Bible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, back to the witch parade. It is an open door for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they see the witches and their costumes and their outfits and
they don't
so
know
cute and then you have your four-year-old little daughter who every year now wants to be a witch and it seems so innocent in some aspects like for the kids Yeah. But it's really not.
No.
Because that's doing the complete opposite of what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that the devil goes for is our children.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why it's important for parents to, like, teach their kids at home, especially the difference between the light and the darkness and, like, what it can do and all this and that.
Yes, and have boundaries of all of that as well.
Right. I actually saw a cute video of this mom with her two little sons. She was teaching them at home, like, the difference between lightness and darkness. So she had, like, the oil and the water, because you know how they separate?
Mm-hmm.
So she had, I believe, the water first, and that represented, like, the world and, like, sin. And she was teaching them, like, you can live in the world, but don't be like the world. So then the oil was sitting on top, and that was us Christians separating ourselves from them.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like, sin comes into the world, so they had, like, red food coloring, and mm-hmm. she put it in there, and then they stirred it up, because sometimes we're human, as we always say.
Yeah.
We're going to fall into some temptations or whatever the case is. And so then, but at the end of the day, when you go back to God for it, you're separated.
Oil stays on top.
It's a cute video. I'll have to repost it.
That reminds me of one that I saw. It was when you have God in your life and they have a cup that has, I don't know if it's black food coloring or if they literally got some dirt from outside, whatever.
I think I've seen that one.
But they put it under the faucet and mm-hmm. it's like, you know, the longer you keep pursuing God and the
it
more
gets
you
clear.
Do, it gets clearer and clearer and clearer until finally all of your sin and your sorrows and, you know, mm-hmm. all of the trauma from your life, anything that was that black in that cup is mm-hmm. now gone.
Which,
because you gave it to him as he, that's what he died for us. You know, he died on the cross for us. He wants us to leave it to him.
Yeah.
Which whenever Marley it's gets beautiful. Baptized, she has this ongoing joke. I hope you really do this.
I still want to do it just because it's so funny.
Well, it could go with what you just said too. You're leaving your
true.
Stuff behind. True. She wants to go with the bath bomb.
A black one.
And
a
so
black
it,
bath bomb?
Yeah, so when she goes in the Josh. Water, it just like disperses. It's all black.
And it
so,
bubbles up. And
that's kind of, but it sounds, I know what you're going with it because I know you, but like it's all her like, past
and then when you come out
well.
Of it, it's like you.
It's not on her.
Out of
so
it.
Then it's like, hey,
that's nice. Yeah, I mean,
so,
it could be
symbolized. Her description is much better than mine. But I, you know, I'm a jokester. I like to play around.
I put some meaning
so
to
for
it.
Me, yeah. So for me, it was like that would be hysterical because everybody knows that I used to be into like the spirituality. So it was like also playing a little like, you know, a little joke, whatever. But
what's cool.
It really does
no jokes
meaning.
Allowed.
It really does have meaning, though.
Yeah.
Because it is true. Like, all of that darkness, you know, like, I'm human, so I still have days where I'm like, bah humbug to the world or to life or whatever.
Right.
But for the most part, I feel like all the heavy stuff, like, even the emotional heavy things inside that used to eat away at me, which in turn caused me to want to drink the feelings away, I don't feel like that's there anymore.
He gives you that peace.
Yeah,
he gives you the ability to navigate through these things.
Oh, look at that, guys. The peace that we always talk about.
Understanding, though. So, like, you know, a lot of things where, you know, for an example, my dad, I had a lot of resentment for a while. Our relationship has always been kind of like a roller coaster. He was raised in a very cold, also an addiction family. Like, his mom was an alcoholic. His dad was.
Yeah.
His dad left. He was also, like, the youngest of, like, six kids, the youngest boy. So, you know, you can only imagine how that is with, like, bullying in your own home.
Yeah.
No affection. The whole nine yards, right? So, for the longest time, I'd be like, you know, like, upset with him or angry towards him because, like, why did you treat me like that as a kid? Not to say he was all bad. He gave me everything that I needed. I was protected. I was fed. It was just the emotional that a little girl needs.
Yeah. That makes sense.
He didn't know any better. Like, how is he supposed to give me something that he's never experienced? So now I feel like Jesus and God or the Holy Trinity is giving me, like, all of this
insight,
like, the love
this
that
insight,
you never probably felt before too,
that but also like understanding, like,
oh my gosh,
like,
yeah,
obviously if you've never experienced affection in your life, like, you're not gonna give your own kid, you know, affection because
true.
You've
right.
never experienced it, you don't know.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So like there's a lot of
I can relate.
A lot of people that I would, you know, I've had grudges towards, whatever, but then like this because of the peace and because I was able to accept things and let go of things, I was also able to look at it from their perspective. Okay, like, why are they doing that? Or mm-hmm. why, like, what?
Right.
What's making them act this way? So now it's like, all right, well, we're all human. And at the end of the day, he just needs Jesus.
Mm. Yep. We're called to love each other. We're called to love our enemies. We're called to love each other as our own selves. And that's, if you have that as your standard, it's going to become easier to forgive. And it's going to become easier to not forget, but understand.
Right. Mm-hmm. Have a little more compassion. Yeah. And, like, forgiveness.
We need to love each other just as Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
What's it called? I know, like, so we've heard, like, all of her, like, background, like, how she grew up and this and that, especially mm-hmm. around this season, like, the Halloween and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, like, you and I have two different backgrounds as well. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you've celebrated Halloween, maybe not to that extent or whatever, mm-hmm. but you still celebrate in some way, and I never have. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, I want to know, like, what your Halloween was like.
Yeah, I mean, back then in the day, it was different. We could roam the streets and mm-hmm. stuff. Nowadays, yeah, I would never.
I feel like it gets earlier and earlier every year, trick-or-treating.
Yeah, but I'm talking even general. Like, I would never let my kid walk down the street nowadays.
No, when like, we were kids, we went in a group of our friends.
Oh, yeah. Me and my friend would go wherever. But anyway, so we would go, like, you know, when we were a little bigger, we would go alone Halloween. I don't know. I never dressed up as anything evil, I don't think. I've always, I never really liked that. So I'm glad about that. But I would, you know, I would watch horror movies sometimes, which I'm sure you haven't as much. But soon after that, I hated horror movies. I don't know why. Even before I knew I was, like, Christian. Maybe that was
your opening.
Yeah, I never liked swearing. I never liked horror movies and stuff like that. Like, I dabbled a little, but...
Have you ever played with, like, the Ouija boards and all that?
Oh, I did.
So I did. I don't know why. Like, high school and stuff. It would just be like, oh, let's do this for fun. And that's the most I ever got into anything like that. It was, like, here and there.
Do you feel like... I know you said you never did anything, like, scary or whatever, but, like, did you go along with the day just because the world was going along with, like, the holiday? Like, you figured you had to dress up and you want to go out and this and that?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a problem in my eyes growing up at all. Until just the past few years, really.
Halloween used to be my favorite.
Yeah.
I was Bride of Chucky for like 2 or 3 years in a row because I was just so obsessed.
Oh, how cute.
So cute.
Meanwhile, here I am getting dressed up like a Bible character. that's crazy. It's like where she came from, where you came
We're
from.
All different.
It's weird.
Hold up. What do I have in my, at the salon, in my little space? What did I get from Dollar Tree the other day that all my clients are like, what is that? Don't you dare.
The Christmas tree?
Dude, I hate Christmas. I was the Grinch.
She was. I remember calling you that. So
I was the Grinch.
Between holidays, it's funny now because where she is, behind her, the owner has, like, I don't know, Halloween decor set up, but, like, wasn't there a witch or something?
Yeah, there's two witches behind me.
Yeah, and I know, like, coming from a place like that, you obviously don't want to see it again and this and that, so it obviously bothers her. But
so
me,
you brought Christmas.
So she brought Christmas.
Early.
And so I looked at her, I was like, is that a tree?
Yeah.
And then when she said that there were witches behind her, I was like, wow, the devil's really trying to get you, isn't he? Because, like, obviously she's not looking at that anymore. But it was just funny.
Well, yeah, seriously. He really will keep trying to put things in your face and try and tempt you. I'm terrible with social media and, like, technology, so anytime I have a question, I usually text her, like, what is this?
I tend to find friends who are not good with social media or technology, both of you guys.
Anyways.
Okay, you just want to be with me more, it's all right.
I mean, yeah. Oh, man, I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry.
Technology.
Right?
Technology.
I don't think Rachel's ever had a Halloween costume.
Honestly, no, the only time that I probably have dressed up in a smidgen way, and I tried to make it as close to regular clothing as I possibly could, was when we were
scarecrow.
In Barrington. You remember.
Yeah.
I was a scarecrow. I literally had regular clothes on. I just put, like, a nose
paint.
On my thing and maybe a straw hat. Called it a day.
Yeah.
That's the only time. But no, growing up, my parents never allowed, like, anything with a dark meaning in our home, like between like the movies, the music, anything of that sorts. We would always be in church every single year. Mm-hmm. So every year we'd go to church, and it was like our own party on Halloween, because my dad always said, like, let's celebrate light and what gives us life and stuff like that, not anything of the devil or darkness. So we were always in church. Jessica and I were in the dance team at the time, so we would dance to the song Victory that I'm trying to bring back, but she won't do. And we would have like activities for all ages and all this and that. So it made us want to go to church and learn, and we always looked forward to it every Halloween.
Okay.
As I got older, that's when they started doing like the trunk or treats, and that was our version of dressing up, if you want to say. Like, each car would have their own theme. You would dress up according to a theme, but it has to have like a meaning to it. And so each kid that came to the car, you would have like, each kid that came to the car, you could give them like a pamphlet or talk about God in some way, shape, or form. Right. That's as far as I've ever gotten. Yeah.
So I have a question about that really quick. What? Because I have seen debates on whether that should even be a thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because so there are debates where, like, you know, some Christian churches are like, well, you shouldn't even be doing that. You shouldn't be doing anything that has to do with anything on Halloween, even if your intent behind it is good.
I don't know.
I thought about that as I got older, because as I'm older, and obviously you understand more and this and that.
And you think for yourself now.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
There are ways to have fun, like a little fall festival instead of celebrating like Halloween, or like a small party without an evil intent, which would be kind of like the trunk or treat. And like
bobbing for apples and whatnot.
Right. That'd be the fall festival. But even though it's like the trunk or treat, you know, there are rules behind it. Like, we don't want any visual evil behind it. We want to promote also goodness. Like, we did Noah's Ark one year, like, for the trunk, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's really...
Well, I ask because this is my first year. I've not experienced it yet.
Yeah. No, there's a big debate, I know, about that. Some Christians won't do one little thing, like candy, nothing. Like, but honestly, like, it's our choices, right? Like, we can make the right choices. We could actually, if we have a small little, like, Halloween whatever, we can make light out of it, like Noah's Ark, and, you know, bring God into it in a way. So I don't think there's anything wrong if there's no evil intent behind it. And that's my personal opinion, though.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But... yeah, that was pretty much my Halloween. And even now, like, I think from COVID on, we stopped doing, like, I don't know. We would do services here or there, but from Halloween, COVID on, obviously, we couldn't be at church and stuff like that. And I still wouldn't be home. So my family came up with a thing where we go to my sister's house, and it's just all of us. And we come up with games to play and this and that, and just, like, have fun time together.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It also teaches the kids, like, it's better to do stuff like that than being out in the streets, especially nowadays,
right,
and everything,
right.
But yeah,
it's hard for kids too. They don't understand.
We were never able to have like the movies, not even like Harry Potter or like shows like that.
No Wizards of Waverly Place.
No, probably, I never really got
You know, got the idea of which in my head. To be honest.
Honestly, I would have it on, but I never really got into that one. The one that I'm surprised that I even liked was Raven.
Sabrina.
Yeah, I watched that too. But like at that age, I wasn't watching it with the intent of like, ooh, right. But like, I just thought it was funny that the cat talked and like this and that. So like, my intentions were pure with that, even though it might not have been pure when they came out with the show. But yeah, just stuff like that. I've never really watched it. And even if I do come across, obviously I've seen a scary movie in my life. I never get scared. And I always tell...
She laughs at it.
I do. And I always had to tell Will, like, because he'll ask me, like, that's weird. Like, how do you not get scared? And I'm just like, well, one, I know I have God. And that's what I actually talk to God during the scary movies. And it gets me through. And then even, like, one year, there was a scary movie for, like a Halloween weekend or whatever. I think my friend was over. We were watching it, and after the movie, I like prayed because I was like, I don't want any of that like in my house. Like, I don't even know why I did that. So like,
that's
I asked
how I feel right now.
So I asked for forgiveness for even having it on, and then like just casting out whatever came through the TV. Like, I might sound psycho right now, but you guys don't think that because you guys are in the walk with God.
No,
obviously,
I definitely understand that.
Like, I've been trying to tell Lily. To
I don't even
stop
put it on
movies. She wants to do the Halloween 31 Nights of Halloween scary movies, whatever. And I'm like, you don't understand that watching that, that's like opening a portal. Mm-hmm. You know, it almost sounds like crazy, right? Like,
but it's not.
People must listen to mm-hmm. us and think that we're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not until you like experience it for yourself, when you right. try, when you reach out to God, when mm-hmm. you try even the slightest bit to surrender, mm-hmm. you literally will see a mm-hmm. change in some way for the better.
Yes, we always talk about like, that. Here, how, you know, how can you not believe if you've never even right. attempted? You see all these
right.
people with the light in them and, you know, their testimonies, but you're just gonna not even try one no. bit and then say you don't believe?
Right.
You're missing out, honey.
For real. And that's the sad part. I feel sorry for people who, you know, were like me.
Yeah.
I seriously wish I was Truman on The Truman Show. I don't know if you guys have seen that,
no.
but... In a nutshell, the show is this baby was born into, I don't know if it was like, it was like some sort of science project, and the director was like created that was going to be born, and his life was going to be 1,000% live streamed on TV 24/7 for his entire life.
Oh my gosh.
And then towards the end, you know, mm-hmm. not to kill the vibe, but he did end up figuring it out. But my whole point here is like, if I were that character and people were able to see my life,
mm-hmm.
I feel like my life alone before their eyes would be like, wow, I need Jesus.
Right, right.
Like, for real.
And a lot of people have testimonies like that. You know, we see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He literally changes and softens your heart, like, mm-hmm. every single day. Even if you think, like, oh, I'm better now. Like, there's more to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal. And it's true, and it's real.
Mm-hmm. It is
sure
real.
Is.
I have some points I just want to make quick.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? So there are different things that us Christians could do during Halloween. Well, not just on Halloween Day, but like the month maybe, which is pray for wisdom that God could help you to know how to approach that day
yep.
that honors him
guidance.
Most. Whether you participate or not, use the time to be the light and share the gospel and act like in a way that Christ would, like with his love and everything.
Yeah.
And also teach your children, like how we were saying, why you're doing what you're doing, to help them understand why it's better that way than the
mm-hmm.
world's way. And I mean, there are some concerns, obviously, that Christians have in general. First one being spiritual warfare. We talked about it in the last episode. But since it often celebrates things that we don't represent, which is like death, fear, it could seem contradicting, since the values are of like life, peace, and like happiness, like you always talk about.
Yeah.
There's the conformity part of it. Which in Romans 12:2 they do talk about.
My favorite verse ever.
It is, and it is. Do you memorize it?
Do not conform to the world. Oh, hold on.
It basically.
I usually do. It's just a blank right now.
You're on the right path, though.
Crap.
It urges like Christians not to conform to the world's standards, including those that glorify fear or darkness. And then also balancing freedom and discernment. Discernment is big, especially around this time. Because in Romans 14:5, it encourages, like, our personal conviction. Like we were saying before, like, don't judge others. Let it be, like,
mm-hmm.
between them and God at the end of the day. But we should prayerfully decide how to celebrate Halloween and do what you feel is best for you, obviously, with your discernment.
Yes. Know what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And know what is acceptable. You have to know that in your heart before you follow through with anything around these evil holidays.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you...
I have a little quick scripture, and then we can
finish up.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this is Proverbs 4:14-19. And it says, "Don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. For evil people can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day."
Mm.
Ugh. "They can't rest until they've caused someone to stumble. They eat the food of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines over brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over." awesome is that? Right. They have no idea what they're stumbling over, and they can't rest. They can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. That's how much Satan takes over their mind, where they almost think it's like what they need to do. It's so acceptable. Mm-hmm. And don't even think about it, guys.
Pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes. Turn away and keep moving. I just love that little
way to end it.
Yeah. Mm. And it's really sad that they don't have any idea what they're stumbling over. You've experienced it firsthand. Like, you really don't, even though you had a little thought, like, it just seems so, like, okay once you start doing it, once you're in it. And it's really sad, and I just pray for all those people that need to get out of it.
Right. And I'm glad you also, like, gave it a shot and didn't just say, like, no, you know? Like,
you're actually so young.
Right.
I'm so proud of you for doing that. It is not common for young believers, people to stick with God and want Him as much as we do.
Especially because they care about what others might see them as.
Yeah, everyone's so trapped up in the world. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, what I always tell myself is that God's my only audience, not anybody else, so it doesn't matter what mm-hmm. others think as long as it's glorifying Him. Because at the end of the day, when you die, it's going to be you and Him, not them.
Right.
You're not going to bring everybody with you. So mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's not give up, guys. Like,
and thank you, Miss Rachel, for not giving up on the rotten friend that you had gosh. In the beginning.
No problem. I owe it all to Jesus.
Of course.
She needed Jesus to put up with me.
I prayed to Jesus in between talking to you.
I'm telling you. Jersey.
No, like, honestly, I would pray to God and be like, because if I knew I was going to encounter her that day, I'd just be like,
encounter her.
No, I'd be like, Lord, like, give me the words, give me the actions that you need me, like, help me to understand where she's coming from so I know how to help her, you know? Like,
I mean, you definitely, no, you need that Holy Spirit right there.
Because you know why? I got God's angels' armies by my side.
Yes!
I'm surprised you didn't sing it.
You'll hear it coming up soon.
Yes, that's our hymn of the day.
Our hymn of the day.
Nice. Always by my side.
Okay. Anyway, okay, so anything else we need to go over? I think we touched on a lot. Time is ticking now.
Yes, and if we did miss anything, keep out on Instagram, because I feel like throughout the days leading up until Halloween, we'll also put out more pointers and like videos and photos and stuff out there.
Yes.
Based on what we were talking about.
Okay, so let's end in prayer. Lord, we just thank you that we're able to have this time to come together. We thank you for all of our lives and where we've gotten to at this point with you. And we thank you so much for reaching out to Marley, because you always knew that she was your child. And I'm just so thankful that she made the decision, because we do have our free will to come to you. And I pray for anyone out there, especially in this evil holiday season, to just try to avoid evil. And I pray that you lay your hands on them to, you know, just let them know all the bad in these secular celebrations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I throw one more thing in there?
Of course.
Because you said something similar twice throughout the whole podcast.
Okay.
It just sparked the one verse that has stuck with me since that epiphany moment where I was on my hands and knees. Isaiah 43. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
he knew. He knows.
With me.
Yeah.
Like, that's my verse.
I love it.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
And
he knew,
know, like,
you were his.
When people are sexually promiscuous, or it's really like mm-hmm. they're just searching for someone to love them and like accept them and, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I already belonged to someone.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, what the heck was I doing out looking for, you know, whatever, when I already had someone who called me his?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. You have to open your heart to it. You really do.
Amen.
And it's super easy to start. It is not easy to, you know, what we have to do and we have to abide by every day, but it's super easy to start, because then he helps, you know. Mm-hmm. But so here's our little song me and Rachel did, and thank you all for listening. You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Thank you guys so much for joining our podcast today, and we hope that you join again. If you guys have any questions or topic ideas, feel free to comment below, or you can message us through Instagram. We are CaffeinatedFaith1.
And also, if you guys would like to worship with us or are trying to find like a home church if you're in Rhode Island, we are at Saving Grace Worship Center in North Providence. We're usually there on Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesdays for prayer and a word at 6:30. We welcome you to subscribe to our YouTube page on Spotify, on Apple, called Caffeinated Faith. You can also find us on Instagram, which is Caffeinated Faith 1, or Facebook, Caffeinated Faith.